This time on Weather Brains.
It's just a trend I think we see in the internet, giving the people the power to be citizen journalists, if you will.
Get the story on the internet's newest weather website.
We thought it would be interesting to launch a site dealing exclusively with weather.
And what makes it so special?
It's weatherparty.com.
Also this time, a weather radio voice you probably heard years ago.
For tonight, cloudy and cold with a chance of some mixture of rain, freezing rain, and sleet.
Plus, a look at the current lack of rain in Alabama. We'll talk with local water system officials. Plus, we'll look at the weather ahead. Prospects for any rain anytime soon?
I'll let JB answer that. He's our summer thunderstorm expert.
That and more coming up. Welcome to Weather Brains, the podcast that's all about the weather, put together by a bunch of weather geeks from the Weather Company in Birmingham. I'm one of those fair geeks, David Black. Hello, and welcome to James Spann, lead meteorologist with ABC 3340 Birmingham. How you doing, James?
David, I'm doing just wonderful. How are you?
Oh, still kicking and not complaining. Life is good. JB Elliott with us for this show as well. Mr. Elliott, how are you and crew?
Enjoying life very much so, David.
You sound good. You been sneaking any Pop-Tarts or anything?
They're illegal, sir.
So you wouldn't do a thing like that?
No.
Now, if you notice, he didn't answer the question. He just said they're illegal. He didn't
That's catchy. You know,
haven't had a Pop-Tart since Christmas, sir.
Not since Christmas?
No.
Wow.
I would love to have one at the moment. Mm.
But we all have to be good because we're not 21 anymore. That's what this boils down to, I suppose.
That's anyway. Exactly it.
So what do you guys know? James, you've had a lot of things going on because you were on vacation a couple of weeks back. We haven't really had a chance to talk much about this, but you have launched one pretty exciting project through ABC 3340 about a weather party. You want to tell me a little bit about that?
Well, you know, a lot of people use some of these new Web 2.0 websites like dig.com, and that's basically where the users of the site determine what's published. It's the form of citizen journalism, if you will, and we thought it would be interesting to launch a site dealing exclusively with weather. So, you know, weather domain names are hard to find. We found weatherparty.com. So we registered that, and we put the site up on that a couple of weeks ago. And it's been active now for 2 or 3 weeks, and it works out really well. The deal is, first off, you can just go to weatherparty.com and read the stuff. It's fascinating. These are sometimes stories about weather published in newspapers. Sometimes these are National Weather Service products or maybe blog posts, but you can just read it, which is fascinating in itself. But to really have fun with it, you need to register. And then if you know of something cool involving weather, maybe it's a satellite photograph or a news story, you could submit that link in the system, and then people vote on it. And the top vote getters get bumped up to the front page. So we've had a lot of response. I mean, without much publicity, we've tried to kind of keep the murmur down just so we can be sure the thing's not going to blow up. But we've had a great response and some just fascinating content on there. But it's weatherparty.com. And it's cool. You know, you get a lot of different point of views on there, a lot of different ideas. So it's pretty good stuff. So check it out. Sign up and submit some stuff and vote on some stuff.
What gave you the idea to do this?
Well, I guess as I like to watch trends in technology and the internet, and it seems like you know, that's kind of what's taken off in the last year. You look at MySpace, and that's an ultimate social networking site for, you know, teenagers and young people. But that's where the growth is. And watching dig.com, I saw that thing explode in growth. And that's really for technology news, although they just introduced a new version of Dig that's broadened that out. But I thought with weather being such a universal topic, we need to have something like that in the weather universe. So it's just a trend I think we see in the internet, giving the people the power to be citizen journalists, if you will. And, you know, I sit here and read this thing all the time. I think my favorite post was the Your Guide to Everything Caused by Global Warming. somebody, and I have no idea who put this together, he has links to stories about what things that are being caused by global warming. Some of the things I see on here include food poisoning, desert retreat, missiles return, boredom, that's a new one.
Caused by global warming?
Yes, these are all links to stories in mainline newspapers. Great Lakes drop, greening of the North, Gore omnipresence, glowing clouds, invasion of midgets. I mean, You can sit here for hours and amuse yourself with this. And understand, and I don't want to get on global warming again. We have had expert after expert after expert in the research community on here about that. And it's obvious that we're having a hard time finding anybody that takes the side of man-made global warming. But there are those on Weather Party that do, and you can make comments. And we welcome that. You know, it's a forum, if you will. So it's weatherparty.com, and check it out. It's pretty fun.
Let me ask you something, James. You guys at ABC 3340 do so much on the internet that is so proactive. I don't see anybody around here doing any of the stuff you guys are doing, or certainly not any of the things you do collectively. What kind of response do you get to these things?
Oh, it's just tremendous, David. And you know, to get the fruit, you got to be out on the limb. And especially as the media is changing, we've got to be out there on the edge. And if we don't change, we're going to die. And you look at a company like Eastman Kodak, that's a great example. They almost went, you know, bankrupt as the world went to digital photography and the business just dropped to nothing for film. They almost went belly up and they were late on it. And I don't want us being late on it in our weather business, the weather company, and the television station here, ABC 3340. So we try and stay pretty far on the edge out there. And one of my goals, and I've told you this, David and JB, is to do a video version of Weather Brains, live, baby, live.
Wow.
You know, we've got a 24-hour live stream on ABC3340.com, and for the moment, we just have radar up, unless there's something else cool going on, like I streamed the 4th of July fireworks on Red Mountain in Birmingham, one of the sky cams, but I really want to do this sometime maybe in August or September. We'll come up here on a weeknight, and about 8 o'clock Central Time, we'll do the show live, and we'll stream it live. And, of course, we'll tape it. We'll have the audio available for podcast users and iPod listeners just like always. But that's the kind of stuff where I see this whole thing going. And it's really great. We can talk to our listeners and viewers anytime we want to. You don't have to wait until the news comes on. It's just a matter of time budgeting, you know, time management. That's the hardest part of all this. It can wear you out.
JB, you've seen a tremendous amount of change in your days on this earth in technology. What do you think about the prospect of doing a video podcast?
I think it would be neat, and I know James could pull it off, and I'm looking forward to being a part of it.
I think you'd be great in it. I think we'd all have fun. Sounds fascinating.
All the ladies are going to love JB. We have learned over the years JB is a babe magnet, and get him on live television, you know.
Yep. I do not have a face for television.
Maybe he needs to bring Miss Molly too, James, you think?
Bring the dog. Come on. Miss Molly and JB are the best known of anybody on this show. So absolutely. So we'll shoot for that sometime in August and September. And if that works out, maybe we can do it, you know, once a month or something. I don't know. We'll just have to phase that in. It's no secret that we're doing this now in separate places. A lot of people have come up to me and said, where do you guys do that show? Well, wherever we are. We use Skype, voice over internet client, to do this, and it's very convenient. But to do the TV gig, we got to be together in the same room. So we'll have to bathe and get our deodorant and all that for that. I would say comb our hair, but you know me, I don't have to worry about that.
I'm not going there. Next question, rain. Prospects for any rain anytime soon?
I'll let JB answer that. He's our summer thunderstorm expert.
Gee, I'm no expert on that. We had some of those illegal thunderstorms again Sunday. I think on my last forecast shift Friday afternoon, I left it dry for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and maybe Tuesday. And we got quite a few thunderstorms Sunday afternoon. Maybe a third of the state got rain, and some spots got well over an inch. But it's still not enough to break the back of the dry spell. The ground out here where I live is still crunch, crunch, crunch every time I take a walk.
Yeah, I'm telling you, David, you know, summer thunderstorm forecasting is awfully frustrating. For all the young people that are listening to this, I hope that they will come up with some new concepts on how to forecast afternoon convection on a summer day, these air mass storms here in the deep south. And I'm guilty, too. You know, Friday, my last forecast shift, I said Sunday was going to be dry, and then storms blew up. And then Bill Murray, who worked the forecast shift Sunday, he played up rain today, and we had maybe two showers. And that was it. So it is extremely hard. But I think for the deep south where we are, I think the rest of July will be pretty normal. If there's any such thing, we'll be close to the averages in terms of temperature and rainfall. It will be unlike a year ago. In fact, today is the one-year anniversary as we tape this show of the landfall of Hurricane Dennis. And, you know, Dennis came up and wet down the deep south and brought some, severe weather and all that. I don't see that happening anytime soon, JB. How about you?
I sure don't. I don't see it anytime soon right now.
Well, we can keep hoping for rain anyway. Of course, rain or lack of it remains the subject of concern for a lot of folks here in central Alabama. Mandatory or voluntary restrictions on water usage continue throughout Shelby County. Now, one city having a tougher problem right now is Alabaster. Not only is the lack of rain a problem there, but one of that city's main sources of water has been unavailable since January. Pete Lucas is manager of the Alabaster Water Board. Can you give me just a general update on how the water situation stands right now for the city of Alabaster?
Okay, well, I mean, right now, as far as the way the water situation stands right now, I mean, we still have one of our wells down, so we do not have that supply. The rain that came in last week, I think, was very helpful. Our tanks have recovered a pretty fair amount. We're around in the mid-80s now as far as tank levels go.
What does mid-80s mean?
80%.
Okay.
In that range right now. But, of course, we got watering coming up during the allowed hours. We allow watering Monday and Thursday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. or 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Residents have a choice. We know people have different schedules. That's even numbered houses. And also Tuesday and Friday, those same hours for the odd-numbered homes.
You mentioned a well being out of service. That was a problem for you, was it not, before the summer ever came on?
Yes, that well went out of service in the middle of January.
And that cut a big amount of water you had access to?
About 1.5 million out of our total supply of 6.6 MGD, million gallons per day.
So that hurts.
Yes. I mean, the weather, it has made it worse, and the well being out of service has made our problem, I guess, more critical than other communities' problems have been, just because our well is out of service also.
Are you making headway getting the well back toward service?
Yes, what we're doing is we have purchased a water filtration system from West Tech. It's a membrane system that will let us bring well number one back into service, but on an emergency type basis, not on a ongoing basis to where we're going to be able to come off the restrictions. I believe that it mainly gives us a backup supply in case something, you know, goes wrong or something. It's what that mainly does for us. It gives us some room, you know, to maneuver, because things inevitably do go wrong occasionally, and that we at least have a backup then. So that's what that does for us.
We get these occasional pop-up thunderstorms here or there every couple of days. I suppose maybe that helps on a small scale, but that doesn't really fix your problem long-term, does it?
It helps get us from one week to the next week. And no, it doesn't. It's not. I mean, mainly you can't count on them is what the problem is with them. If I could count on them, you know, that would make it a whole lot easier. But, I mean, we can go around here and, you know, Calera gets a storm, Pelham gets a storm, and we don't get anything. And so even though it says, you know, 30%, 50% chance of rain, that doesn't mean that we get rain in Alabaster. But when it does rain, we can see an impact on our tank levels. People don't water as much, and so we don't lose as much water out of our tanks, and that's good.
So you're just asking people to continue with the status quo at this point with the restrictions you have in effect?
Yes, at this point in time. We're still in stage one, Monday, Thursday, even homes, Tuesday, Friday, odd homes. 6 to 8 a.m. or 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
You said stage one. Does that mean there's a stage two?
Well, there is. We have a proposal for the mayor to consider. I mean, the restrictions that are imposed are at the mayor's discretion, but we're trying to be ready for if we have to be stricter. And what that would impose, what that would require would be just one day of watering per week.
Sounds like you're one of those people who'd really like to see a tropical storm come into the Central Gulf and bring us some pretty heavy rain.
Well, I'd like to see some rain. I don't really have a preference as to how it comes. I just kind of would like to see some rain. I know the folks down on the Gulf Coast, they may have a different opinion about that, and I understand their perspective on that also. But rain would be very nice.
That's Pete Lucas, manager of the Alabaster Water Board. Now, rain is something Charles Lay would also like to see. Lay is the utilities manager for the Shelby County Water Authority. That's the group that sells water to customers in several parts of Shelby County, either directly or on a wholesale basis. What's the current situation as far as water availability?
We have enough water for our system at this time to meet our needs. We have put in place a set of voluntary standards for lawn sprinkling, and our customers have really helped us out in that regard, and we are able to meet our demands. We don't have a lot of extra water. We need to remain diligent, but we are meeting our needs at this point.
We're not getting a lot of rain right now except for those real hit and miss thunderstorms every now and then. What is your take on the coming month or two? Any way to, do you have a crystal ball to look into?
I wish I did. I sometimes think I need a meteorologist on staff now. But at this point, if our customers continue to do what they're doing and water their grass on a staggered basis so that not too many of them do it at the same time, we'll be okay. But we'll need to maintain that posture all the way through September.
If we don't get any significant rain for the next 30, 60 days, do you see you're being able to continue to serve your customers adequately?
Well, we have to play that as it comes. Currently, we are able to serve the customers, but if the situation got worse, we would have to review that as it occurred.
So your message to folks now would just be to continue to be careful about water use?
Continue to do what we're doing. We greatly appreciate the response that we got from our customers, because we saw an immediate change in their watering habits, and continue to do that. Quite often we get a hot, dry month in September, so let's stay diligent all the way through until October 1st.
That's Charles Lay with the Shelby County Water Authority. So guys, there you have it. We need some rain.
July is normally our wettest month of the year, our second wettest. I believe March is the wettest. But July is our second wettest of the month in a normal year, even disregarding tropical systems or tropical storms. And it increases about an inch and a half over June and drops down again in August. So this is our chance just from the afternoon thunderstorms. We have more thunderstorm days in July of the month of the year, too.
Well, I'll tell you what, when we're talking about all this heat here in the middle of July with these highs in the 90s, it's kind of refreshing to think back to some cooler times in Alabama. And I've got a little something to help you relive some cooler times. Check this out. I think that guy's an institution.
Wow, the Alabama weather legend on NOAA Weather Radio.
Absolutely.
You mean that was me?
That was you. Sorry about the audio quality. That was the best we could do with what we had.
That was J.B. Elliott on National Weather Service Radio, probably, sometime in the 70s or 80s there, I guess.
Wow.
Hey, that's the voice people know everywhere.
And J.B. didn't even recognize his own voice.
I sure didn't.
Well, the audio quality of the copy we had there left something to be desired, but that was still a trip down memory lane for a lot of folks, including me. In fact, here's another one.
5 p.m. and I'll update, and we'll update this part of our weather forecast again, not later than 9:15 tonight. Light rain was increasing some over south-central Alabama tonight, but it was still just scattered light rain from eastern Clark County northeast to near Tuskegee. Also at 8:25 in west Alabama, some light rain has moved into the area from eastern Mississippi. The light rain now covers in Alabama, southern Sumter County, northern Choctaw County, and the rain was spreading northeast at 35, moving into
I'll tell you what, when JB was doing weather radio, you knew what was happening.
JB, explain how you guys used to do weather radio back in those days. Today, you know, they're just talking computers. You guys had the carts and all that stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, we had the tape carts, and we had to keep cleaning the carts. We had an eraser to erase the tapes every time we would reuse them, and we had a whole stack of tapes, some of them 100 seconds long, some 60 seconds long, some 30 seconds long, and some 10 seconds long. And we tried to use appropriate tape, and sometimes our weather information, for example, if we were trying to use a 70-second tape, the weather information would run 74 seconds long, and we'd have to do it over. We had several series of spots on the radio console where you could put in the Alabama Weather Roundup, the Alabama Weather Situation, or the Alabama Weather Update, and hourly weather information, and any kind of warnings and so forth. And anytime we had a tornado, a severe thunderstorm warning, we were able to put that warning on immediately and then put the other stuff on skip so the broadcast wouldn't be too long before it cycled back around.
I want to hear about those occasions when you actually went live on weather radio. That was very rare, and I think a lot of people don't know that ever happened. But you take that thing live from time to time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I did, and I don't think it went too well with some of the supervisory personnel because they were afraid, you know, you might say something that you didn't want to say, but it wasn't any danger of me doing that. During the Smithfield tornado in 1977, I went live for about 30 or 45 minutes, and one of the other people on duty there kept giving me a trace of the radar, and they would bring me a fresh radar drawing in there, and I would ad-lib it on the air. And, of course, we did not have a situation where I could sit right in front of the radar and ad-lib, but I would do it from an overlay, a plastic overlay.
JB, I miss those days of you on weather radio. I'm just glad that you're still around to be able to provide those kinds of updates to folks. At least they can listen to you on broadcast radio.
We do severe weather information during severe thunderstorm and tornado warnings on four of the Cox radio stations downtown. And those two of those are blockbuster 100,000-watt stations, and actually, the coverage of those four stations extends all the way from the Tennessee River to Montgomery and from eastern Mississippi over to West Georgia, so we have a wide audience.
I know you've got a lot of people listening to you, James.
I sure miss those days of weather radio. That brought back some great memory. And I'll be honest with you guys, you know, with today's technology, you know, having the warnings come over your, you know, PDAs and cell phones and everything else, I really don't have a need for weather radio, but I sure miss hearing JB do those things. But that was some great audio from long, long ago.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I believe Tim Coleman saved those tapes.
Yeah, I believe so. And we're glad that he did, because really he preserved some, in my opinion, treasures of the radio. So I'm real glad to have those clips around. I'll tell you what, something that I think back to all the times that JB was on weather radio in Birmingham, you knew that it was tape recorded, but even though you knew it was recorded, and James, back me up on this, even though you knew it was recorded, you knew it had to have been recorded within just the past few minutes, because it was always very fresh information.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, these guys are the forecasters and the meteorologists that are doing the work, making those audio tapes. And back in those days, you didn't have a lot of long-form broadcast coverage of severe weather outbreaks and things like that. And, yeah, it was just a lifeline, and just absolutely tremendous. So, and again, it serves a great purpose today. I understand, as we talk about weather radio, I'm not saying that it's the use of it should be diminished today because of the automation. The tone alert thing is crucial in the warning process. In fact, I'm one of the biggest advocates of getting a weather radio in every house. But in terms of the programming, yeah, I don't think it'll ever be as good as it was back in the good old days.
During times of severe weather, especially during a tornado or severe thunderstorm warning, we tried to update that material not more than every 5 minutes. I mean, not any later than every 5 minutes.
And I'll tell you something that's, you know, just my opinion, even though I miss what weather radio used to be like in the days of JB and crew, when you look at some of the technology still being used today, and I'm thinking specifically of tornado sirens, to me there is no comparison. I put infinitely greater value on a weather radio over a tornado siren.
Yes, so I was watching the national news, David, on our channel, in fact, you know, World News Tonight, and they did this, you know, story like they had just discovered some amazing device that can warn people about tornadoes in their home. And you know what it was? It was a weather radio. I mean, I thought, where were these guys 25 years ago when this thing, you know, came online?
You mean they just did a feature story on that?
Yeah, just this was like 2 weeks ago. Well, we saw it on ABC World News Tonight. You know, instead of knocking them, let's just give them credit for they're late to the party, but at least they're there because, you know, the media, that's all they talk about anytime there's a tornado. You know, they'll find somebody that'll say, I never heard a siren, and I want to say, well, so what? You're not supposed to hear one in your home. But at least they picked up on the idea. But, yeah, the weather radios are crucial in the warning process today, and we've still got to work on getting one in every home in severe weather-prone areas, and that's a large part of the United States. And I want to change the subject a minute, David. A couple of quick things I had here. I noticed that NOAA issued an unscheduled update to their seasonal drought outlook. JB, did you see that?
No, I did not.
This was issued on July the 7th, so that would have been Friday of last week. But it says the U.S. Climate Prediction Center today issued an unscheduled update to its U.S. seasonal drought outlook. And the main reason for the update is the expansion of the drought in the Dakotas. And also the new outlook highlights short-term relief in the Southwest, where they've seen some pretty decent showers and thunderstorms out there. And in Alabama, they've got us in a an ongoing drought for much of the state below the Tennessee Valley with some improvement.
Well, it could be better. We'll keep our fingers crossed anyway.
Absolutely. I don't know of anything any more depressing than a long, drawn-out heat wave and drought.
And, David, the other thing I wanted to mention, this happened about a week ago. The National Weather Service issued their assessment on their performance during Hurricane Katrina, which is pretty interesting. Again, that's on the NOAA side if you want to read the whole thing. It's this pretty long PDF file. But obviously, they had some best practices. They identified 13 best practices, and then they also found some spots where they needed some improvement, recommendations for change. But one of the good things I saw, they did commend Max Mayfield for contacting the governors of Louisiana and Mississippi and calling Ray Nagin. You know, we talked about that on here before on the telephone. And also the Alabama EMA to emphasize the severity of Katrina. And they also, in their best practice section, kind of commended the Weather Service in Slidell for their vividly worded statements that explicitly describe the impending catastrophic damage expected from Katrina. And that goes back to one guy, Robert Ricks. And he's the guy that had the guts to pull out that statement. And it was pre-written. You know, initially we thought that Ricks wrote that thing himself. He didn't. It was already in the system, and I don't know who wrote that years ago, but it was to be pulled up during a Category 5. The one thing Robert Ricks did, he had the guts to push the button and to send that out over the system. And I was sitting here, it was Sunday morning, about 10 o'clock Central Time, you know, about 20 hours before landfall, and I almost fell out reading that thing. You know, it described the damage perfectly that happened in Mississippi. So I was glad to see Robert Ricks and his associates in Slidell get some credit for that. And I also note along those lines, in terms of the improvements they're recommending here, providing all appropriate Weather Service offices with standard hurricane impact statement templates. That's what Robert Ricks pulled out, and they're going to make that available to all the Weather Service offices in hurricane-prone areas. And some of the other improvements involve communication, backup communication techniques, and things like that, because they did have some pretty serious communication issues during the whole thing. But anyway, that assessment is online if you want to read it. Go to NOAA.gov, and it's down in their assessment section.
That was the most awesome statement I have ever seen in my whole 32 years in the Weather Service or since that time, so much so that I printed a copy, carried it to church that Sunday morning, and read it to my Sunday school department.
I remember it well.
If you go to our blog and go back to that date, we posted it where I think I was here in the office. I did not go to church that morning, and I was here in the office, and I immediately posted that thing up on the blog. And, again, we did a story on Robert Ricks on one of our Hurricane DVDs we did. Maybe we'll get him on here with the Weather Brains gang. Real nice guy, and he's very much not wanting to call attention to himself. The first thing he always wants to talk about is all of his associates down there. But he's a fascinating guy, so maybe he'll join us one week.
Well, that's certainly the scariest warning statement I ever remember hearing out of the National Weather Service. And they were right on the money, too. If you'd like to contact us here at Weather Brains, we'll give you a couple of ways to do that. If you'd like to pick up the phone and leave a voicemail, our number is 206-339-5482. Again, 206-339-5482. If you'd like to email us, just send an email to question@weatherbrains.com. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. A reminder that all of the opinions you hear expressed here on Weather Brains are those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of ABC 3340. I'm David Black on behalf of James Spann and J.B. Elliott saying thank you for listening. Weather Brains is copyright 2006, all rights reserved. Adios.
Very nice. Thanks, man. You're the best.
Sure is.
Well, thank you guys for the help. Always nice to have you on board.